And here we are again. Welcome back to the debunking. Anne and I are here together this time because this is a big myth to bust. And because the alternative to this myth is very, very exciting. And also, as you'll find, completely liberating. So here we go. The question many, if not most, teachers begin asking themselves before they're even finished with their teacher training is, what's next? How am I going to specialize? What's my niche? The rabbit hole is huge and gaping and inevitably very hard to ignore. Sometimes we're even compelled to jump into it before we've completed our programs. It's not uncommon these days, and I have to say I've seen it at least a handful of times this past year, that Pilates teachers are out getting their yoga or bar certifications, just as an example, while also making their way through their Pilates programs. Now, if it doesn't happen in that moment, it doesn't take long before we've been teaching for a little while and we feel almost ashamed of ourselves if we don't have a unique offering, a list of specialty certifications that tell the world that we are qualified and specialized and therefore are sure to attract all the students that we need.
It is true. There are lots of specialization programs that help you get an edge with finite populations. But each studio only has so many students who are, say, pre-postnatal or have a neurological condition or are cancer survivors. So let's reframe how we think about continuing education. We spend hundreds of hours and dollars in workshops to understand movement, pathologies, and how to address unique conditions. We seek out the cutting-edge pieces of equipment, such as the motor, the Coraline, or the OOV, and the most innovative movement education and techniques, maybe neuromuscular re-education, or neurological-based Pilates, or Pilates for equestrians. And then we take it all back into the studio, potentially with no more skill in delivering the information than we had before. Why? Well, because we didn't focus on the teaching. So think about this. One of the best analogies is that learning is like building blocks. We construct knowledge. Therefore, if we don't have a strong foundation in understanding teaching, no matter how many specialized skills we learn, if we can't effectively and efficiently teach what we have learned, we can't reach our students. So developing your skills as a teacher makes you more successful no matter what you're teaching or who is in front of you. Learning the art and craft of teaching enhances your ability to teach all of your students, not just a subset. Discovering how the brain learns, how it perceives, the effect of language, touch, and environment have on the nervous system, and our ability to communicate effectively all help us teach the whole student and all students versus just a special population of students. In order to do that, we need to not just be experts at Pilates, but also experts in teaching.
The trick is not to get more specialized education, but to leverage the education you have and develop yourself in the one way that will infinitely and sustainably set you apart no matter who your audience is, and that's in developing you. Developing yourself as a teacher looks like this, in part. Understanding motivation science, how the brain learns, and how to create the most optimized learning and teaching environment you possibly can. It looks like deepening your understanding of how to work with resistance, combativeness, and students who have a lot of fear about moving. It looks like how to use touch and language more efficiently. And it also looks like creating mutually beneficial relationships with your students that foster autonomy and self-efficacy. What's exciting is that we've already begun to touch on some of these things in our previous two videos, but let's ask some questions that will help us dig a little deeper into why and how creating lifelong learners is critical. Questions that are often, if not always, on our minds these days are, how do I make it through the next recession? How do I keep my students from going down the street to the new studio with cheaper rates? These are absolutely real and valid questions, but they are not the right questions to be asking. What we want you to ask is, how do I transform my fitness clients, who are highly transitory, into lifelong students of Pilates, who keep doing the work with the teachers they trust and love no matter what the circumstances. We're proposing that the answer to all of these questions lies in developing yourself as an expert teacher. This means taking the long view and investing in becoming a great teacher, not just a great technician to a special population.
In the second and third videos, we shared with you research-based motivational science and some of the ideas and techniques you can employ to begin to buoy your teaching and stay ahead of the curve. Now we want to dive into the critical and fundamental ideas of teaching as a relationship and explore how powerful perception, awareness, and expectations can be in both increasing your student base with motivated and driven students and help you keep those students for the long haul. So let's talk about something you can do immediately to start this process. Let's talk about awareness, perception, and expectations as a place to begin our path toward becoming an expert teacher. Understanding our role and relationship with students starts with being aware of that relationship. So let's start simply by becoming aware of the language we use when we talk to and think about our students. How we perceive ourselves and our students filters implicitly and unconsciously into every aspect of our work. And if we're not aware of that, we could be building on shaky ground. Are your students students or are they clients and why? Do you talk about goals or do you talk about expectations and motivation? Further, consider what it does to the relationship for both you and the other person when you call your students clients. Think about what a client is, does, how they behave, what is implied and expected of them, and of you as a service provider. Now think about what student means. Now let's get to a real in-studio moment where awareness and perception are going to come into play and set the stage for every other interaction, the very first session and your intake process. Planting the seeds for true partnerships with our students can be very simple and immediate. We can do it by shifting one thing, asking better questions. Yes, this is all about language and awareness and shaping the students' perceptions of themselves.
If you buy into the idea that as teachers, we are not here to do Pilates to our students, nor are they empty vessels for us to fill up, then you will love what happens when you're able to strategically craft not only the questions you ask, but how you ask them. In a typical intake, we have our student fill out a form, which inevitably includes questions about activity level, injury, and goals. Then we sit down and review it with him, moving into maybe something like a postural assessment. We ask questions to clarify history and health, and we likely dig into their goals a little bit. But here's the rub. How many of the questions end up being yes or no questions? How many of the questions get the student to better understand their motivation, their true reasons for being there? Do you ask questions about what their expectations are of you, of the work, or of themselves? We'd like to introduce you to an idea that has roots in humanistic psychology and is a part of a technique called motivational interviewing. And that idea is open questions. Open questions are a pivotal part of student-centered teaching, which helps you engage and invite the student to be invested in their learning and their practice from moment one. Open questions help you understand your students' perceptions, understand their level of confidence and how important their desire is to change, understand and track their level of ambivalence, and understand and track their level of discrepancy. Most importantly, open questions get your student to become their own advocate. This is the heart of developing self-efficacy and promoting your student's progress through the CCLM. Remember that from the last video? That's the Conscious Competence Learning Matrix. Examples of open questions would be, what brings you to Pilates? What do you want to do about your current physical abilities and state? How would you like to see them shift and change? How do you think these changes will affect your life? What possible long-term consequences do you imagine might be associated with not changing your level of strength, mobility, awareness, pain, or other relevant area of change? What are the most important reasons why you want to make these changes? Now, these are big questions. These are questions that you would most likely visit on the intake and revisit down the line. We talked about open questions in a different way in the last video around student-centered teaching, which get your student to look inward. It's very much the same idea and equally as powerful.
Here's what we'd like to encourage you to do. Think about one open question that you can create to add to your intake that would achieve one of the things above. Pick one that feels important to you or an area that you feel like your students could really improve on. Keep it simple, play with it, keep it natural to who you are, your teaching style, and consistent with how you've been working. No need to rush in and change everything or anything overnight. So let's recap. Do you need another specialty certification or a niche market in order to attract and keep more students? No. Well, at least you don't in order to attract students and keep them for the long run. What makes you climb the vertical ladder in your Pilates career is understanding teaching and learning how to be in relationship with the person in front of you. So let's focus our learning on being expert mindful movement teachers.
And so we'd like to offer you a huge thank you for spending this time to learn about what you might do instead of worry. Worry about how to fit in learning more exercises, more techniques, getting better at social media, and taking another specialty course. We're thrilled that you'll be able to go back to your teaching with some new thoughts, tools, and maybe even a little inspiration. Look for one more email coming your way because we have something kind of big we want to share with you that we think will help you leverage this work and these tools even more. Until then, go kick some ass. We'll be talking to you soon.